We're talking about the aftermath of Shopko as the 11 remaining Wisconsin stores closed for good Sunday night. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. And, you know, there was hope early on in the bankruptcy process that unprofitable stores would close and others would stay open through a new buyer. But then we heard back in March, Shopko announced its nearly six-decade run was ending, about 15,000 employees out of work. Did you work for Shopko? How are you feeling? Have you been able to find a new job? Has Shopko's closure left a void in your community? Join in at 800-642-1234. Jeff Bollier covers business in the Green Bay area as a reporter for Press Gazette Media. Jeff, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me back.
So shoppers were snatching up those last-minute, last-hour deals, but a really sad day for employees of Shopko. What was that like? You know, what did you sense there?
Well, it was a very sad day all around. Definitely for the employees who were kind of toughing out a very rough last day, you know, on a job that some of them at the stores in Green Bay have had for, 30 years in some cases, one store manager told me. So this is hitting both the employees and the community hard. And, you know, I mean, the community members were really kind of doing amazing things for the workers. You know, I mean, people brought in bottled water and cookies and donuts for the employees to kind of just sneak a snack where they could and just to say thank you for serving them and taking care of them for years.
So walk us through the process of what led to this weekend's shuttering of all the stores. How did we get here?
Well, we got here. Shopko had kind of faced competition from all sides, the online sort of sphere of retail, but also dollar stores and big boxes up to Walmarts and Meijers. And so they kind of finally succumbed to this pressure and this competition from all sides, and they ended up filing for bankruptcy protection with a plan to try and reorganize and kind of keep some a core of stores open. Unfortunately, they couldn't find an investor for that, and as you mentioned in the intro, they had to kind of decide to make this painful decision to close all of the stores, more than 300 of them, as of last weekend.
And many of these communities relied on their Shopko for a lot of different services, optical, pharmacy. What does this mean for shopping options in communities that have lost their Shopko?
Well, you know, I mean, in Green Bay, we will have plenty, you know, we have many options and different varieties that we can choose from. But I did speak to a Green Bay resident who goes to school in River Falls, and she told me that, you know, in River Falls, Shopko was the only general merchandise retailer, pardon me, that was within the city limits and within an easy drive from the campus. And so, you know, it is going to impact smaller communities in a big way. They're going to be losing, as you said, in some cases, their only pharmacy option and or their only optical option also for eyewear and eye exams.
We're looking at the aftermath of Shopko as the last remaining stores closed this week in Wisconsin. Jeff Bollier covers business in the Green Bay area for USA Today Network Wisconsin, covered all the developments on Shopko's demise. Did you work for the company? What was it like? Were you laid off because of store closures? Have you found a new job? We're at 800-642-1234. There's a line for you to join in. So, Jeff, what happens to Shopko Optical and Pharmacy? Because I know there were reports that there were some bad deals that went down for how Shopko put these services together. What do we know there?
The optical business, there wasn't really a bad deal with the optical business. It was just a matter of finding a buyer who was interested in keeping it going. So while Shopko, the general retailer that we know and came to love here in Wisconsin, is kind of no more, its optical business has successfully been spun off and is moving into as many as 80 standalone optical centers. They're going to be smaller little storefronts in communities across their sort of old retail footprint. And if you did go to any of the stores over the weekend that do have an optical location, they had a lot of signs up that were kind of pointing out that the optical will be relocating but is not going anywhere.
And so there is that enough brand awareness and customer base for Shopko to spin off its optical.
Yeah, so, you know, much like it, you know, Shopko is very original or unique in kind of developing the pharmacy business in its general merchandise retail stores back in the 1960s when it opened. And so its optical business was kind of showing that same sort of repeat strength where it was doing good business. It was still a viable sort of operation. They just needed to find somebody who could invest in it and take it to its own sort of standalone business.
Okay, so what happened in pharmacy then?
In pharmacy, most of those assets, you know, customer lists and services for them were sold off in February, March, maybe a few in April. But those customers hopefully by now have heard from the pharmacies that have kind of taken over Shopko's operations in the different communities and are able to make sort of alternative arrangements by now.
So, meanwhile, the bankruptcy case continues. What's ahead for the legal situation here?
So there's, you know, sales and the going out of business liquidations have ended, but the business itself still has to kind of wind down its books. It still has, you know, some administrative claims to consultants and lawyers and other, involved parties to pay, and it has to settle as many of its debts as it can. Now, many of the debts to vendors will probably not be, you know, the vendors might get penny on the dollars, but most of the, you know, legal and operational claims should be paid.
What happens to the employees? There were 15,000 people laid off. That's a lot of workforce.
That is a lot of workforce. And just anecdotally, you know, my colleagues, you know, throughout the USA Today Network, Wisconsin, Sarah Rasner, Lydia Slattery, Megan Stringer, Caitlin Schuda, and Maureen Wallenfang, who all helped on this last day of Shopko story, all heard from people, various mix. Some have jobs lined up and had gracious employers who were willing to let them finish out their time at Shopko, while others were still looking and pursuing maybe job retraining and looking at new careers. So it is something that is going to take a while for the state to sort of absorb that workforce, and it will be interesting to see where they go and what they end up doing.
I wonder what happens to that corporate headquarters as well, that real estate.
It will be interesting to see. I've kind of had an eye on that and just was driving past that yesterday for an assignment. And there's still a few cars there and still some very basic operations going on there. But it is a large property in the village of Ashwaubenon that people are watching.
So as we wrap up, Jeff, you cover the ins and outs of business. What can other retailers learn from what happened to Shopko?
Well, you know, throughout the region that the USA Today Network covers, we did a little survey a few months back, and we found that, you know, Shopko's problem, if there was one with shoppers, was that they weren't known for anything specific. They weren't known for discounts, or they weren't known for having the best or the biggest variety of housewares or clothing or whatever. And so without a specialty, they kind of lost that connection with people where they sort of associate it with a product or a need. And that's what some people said. Others have said that not a major online presence didn't help them. So.
Well, Jeff, thanks for joining us.
Kate, thank you for having us.
Jeff Bollier covers business in the Green Bay area as a reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin. Up next, we consider what exactly is in our clothing and how it affects our health. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.